please. Oh, bitch, please, my ass. You want a sandwich?
Dig that.
Oh, hell yeah.
She's a bad man, a devil. I'm a black man in a white world. I'm a black man in a white world.
If I wasn't a Christian man, I'd probably be kicking in your ass.
Thank you.
Well, you asked for it, and now you're going to get it. Part two with my cool Uncle XL. And just to remind folks, he's 87 years old, and he's laying down knowledge and wisdom. But the language can be kind of strong at points, so you may not want to listen with kids around. And also, some language may, and it's not attended to, but offend some. But when you hit 87, I guess you can say whatever the bleep you want to. So after a few commercial messages, we'll be back with part two of With My Cool Uncle X here on the JB's Low Tech Podcast.
When you need someone to listen, a lawyer you know and trust.
Congratulations to all the Minnesota businesses that scraped through the last year. It sure hasn't been easy, but we've done it together. And while we certainly need to move forward, it's good to reflect on what we've been through and the many losses. Here at Bradshaw & Bryant, we held a lot of Zoom meetings, increased our phone calls, and have done our best to keep up with all the changes while continuing to provide quality work. We'd like to thank everyone that turned to us with their personal injury and criminal needs, as well as the courtrooms for bringing the community back together to serve justice. We look forward to being part of Minnesota's growth and success for many years to come. I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. I hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, don't sign anything till you've talked to us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Seeking justice for the injured, Bradshaw & Bryant.
Baseball and softball players. It's almost that time of the year, so why wait? Get that glove ready for the new season. Come on down to JB's Glove Repair, where our 40 plus years of experience will have you ready in no time. We do relacing, minor stitching, strap adjustments, or strap reattachment. We also provide a break-in service for that new glove. So visit us at jaybesgloverepair.com. That's jaybees gloverepair.com. That's jaybesgloverepair.com.
When they realize they're out there by themselves with them and their children,
Now they passed. They ain't gonna talk about the old man ain't no good. Well, I guess he ain't. You let him be no good. Because you had to have him. You took him in a way you could get him.
Right, yeah. You know, again, accountability. You know,
yep.
At some point you have to have accountability somewhere in your life just to make life better. You know, hold yourself, you know, I hold myself accountable every day. I get up, go to work, and I work hard. I don't look to cut ways from work. You know, it's for me, it's just easier to work hard than it is to be lazy. So
it is easy. I know when I first started working, and I every time I'm looking at the clock, look like the clock ain't moving.
Right.
And when I decide, man, you ain't come here to watch the clock. And you're gonna do what you're supposed to do. And then when you do start, it looks like it's almost time to go home.
I tell that to young people all the time. So if you get busy and get into what you're doing, time will fly.
Do nothing. I don't think ain't no nice playing those television games. Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Pam sit them down in front of the television and give them a bottle of soda and a sandwich instead of giving them a book or something. Pam's fault. Pam, when you get through. But, then they're looking at, and these kids looking at television, seeing all that mess. And some of them trying to do what's going on there. Like running away from the police and all that kind of bull. They bleed in, get out of them, get one of them hot rod cars, they can fly. And a lot of them are born in drugs and all throughout their bodies. And you got a lot of these kids that are dementia, and not dementia, but ones that are hard to learn things because of what? Alcohol's in their system and drugs.
Right.
Because the parents just consume too much of it, everybody wants it. They want the easy life, they want it right now. They don't want to work for it like you got it, when I got it. They want it instant.
Right.
But that's the wrong attitude. They'll tell you that too. You know, I want the same thing you got. I do. Yeah, you can get the same thing I got. If you work hard at it and work towards that effort, it ain't gonna jump in your head.
No. I try to tell that to my son constantly, that, you know, you tell me you want this, you want that, and I keep telling him there's only one way to get that, and that is to work hard.
That's right.
Plain and simple. You know.
Accumulated man. Like you told me, you thought I was cool. I wasn't cool with it. But went to work. Even when you didn't feel too good, you went to work. I went back to school. I got me a little old. Went to business school. Got me a degree in business, too. Use it to my everything that I learned to do has been coming up. I've been able to use it in some way, form, or fashion, even with these jobs I went on. In some parts of it, everything's a learning thing. But you want to, everybody to give you, they're going to look at you just because you think you look good, and that's going to get you somewhere. And worst thing of all, you don't save your money. You're out there just blowing it. And come back and laugh about it. And then when you get up, and I've had friends where I got down like this, they want to know how come I was able to maintain my lifestyle like I was when I was young. I said, the wife and I, we saved.
Right.
I said, when you was running around telling me that I was cheap and going on, I wasn't cheap or anything. I said, I was saving money. I said, I said, it wasn't about having fun. I said, that's all y'all want to do. Have fun every day. You ain't going to have no fun every day. You blowing your money. I said, that's how come it is. I said, now you come around and you need some help financially. And if I don't let you have, then you're going to talk about me again. So ain't no damn good. I ain't help you. I said, but it's not my fault.
Right.
You live the way you want to live. And when you was out there blowing your money, I was safe. Now, I got my money to take care of me the rest of my life, and you still out here trying to find something to do. I say, yeah, well, you, that's what they do, man. I'm down with you tell your son a lot. He still got time in his life anyway. He's just, 20 what?
He's 30.
Are you 30 now?
Mm-hmm.
That time, well, he better start doing something now, man.
Yeah. That's what I keep telling him. I got three more questions to ask you. One is will sound kind of silly, but very personal, and the other two are more about the world. But what type of big brother was my father? I always wondered that.
Well, your father was a good father to you and to his wife. Your father, when he come out of service, he got him a job with American Steel.
Mm-hmm.
That was from Illinois, and they were making real good money. And then people stopped. They stopped building trains and stuff, so he got laid off. And then by him not having an education, he couldn't get a. He had to get menial jobs and whatnot. But one thing about it, he fed y'all just like my father did us. Up a roof over your head, so on your back, you didn't have the best of things just like we had. Well, I didn't have the best of things. Even if we did, well, we was always so you know that you don't need the best of things. You just need things that what you need is to survive. You learn how to survive. And your father, he did. He had a successful life. He raised all y'all. You had a father and a mother right there in the house with you, like I was saying earlier.
Right.
At that time, I know he have said things to you. He may have treated you as though you didn't think he loved and cared for you, but he did. That's when you have to have that, what we call hard love.
Yes.
That's the best love you can get. A lot of people think that soft love, and so you're going to love. That's not going to make you love me. A lot of, people don't stop that junk because they think they give you everything that you want, that you're going to love them more, but that's a lie.
Right.
Everybody has the devil. Now, of all you 9 kids, son, don't none of you think alike, because God made us that way. Don't none of us have a mindset.
Right.
But I can't give your father, but your mother too, because we asked your parents about adopting a couple of y'all that she could be.
Yes.
They said, nope. Yeah. And my kids, we're going to keep them together. I know the time was hard. We had a hard time. We didn't have everything that some of the kids had in the neighborhood. And you wouldn't outcome, so-and-so got stuff, and so-and-so got stuff, and you don't have, but you keep your nose on it. When he gave you all the things that you need, equipment to go through hard times and show you what you do if you get out there and try to keep yourself together and things will come to you. But he showed you that people don't give you nothing, you have to get out there and fight for it again. Those are the best things that a person needs, instead of somebody giving you every damn thing that you want to need. You never make it in life like that. And it shows.
Yes.
It shows for itself, like you said. All y'all been to college. Out of 9 kids, that's out of family like this now. That's a hell of an achievement, man. It looks like everybody is doing pretty good. Well, from what I see.
Well, I don't recall ever not having, definitely not having what I needed. And never thought about anything that I wanted. I just, if I did ask for something, within time, it appeared. You know,
right.
You know, it may not happen then and there, but at some point, it happened. You know,
if you work toward that end, you get it.
Right.
Just like the first house me and my wife and I bought. My wife was a resident nurse.
Right.
And I was trying to go to school, and I was going to school, and I was having jobs here and missing that, couldn't get jobs. I don't want people talked about me like a dog. They're talking about, I don't know why you married him. He ain't no good, nothing like that. But then when I finished school and got my first supervision job, I was over there looking for it. 905 was a big concern, a big company there.
Right.
They had about 40-50 stores, and it was something to be a store manager, and you had people worked up on you and supervision. So that's why I learned, got my first supervision training was right there. So then when I got my job, when I retired from, see, I, and that was part of the saying that you had to be a supervisor
right.
over people.
Yeah.
And I knew how to supervise folks.
Yeah, you
and
had
I
to...
learned then from that first supervision job that each one of your employees is different. And you have,
yes.
to, teach, you have to treat each one different. And talk, you know, and you know, you put them on the same rule and the regulation, but yet still you have to find a way to get them to work for you, because if they don't work for you, then you ain't going to have no position, because that's who keeps you afloat, is the people beneath you, and you got to treat them, be fair with them. That's the only thing I've seen in working life, be fair with folks, and don't misuse them, and don't mistreat them, and don't treat one better than do the other, and you're making a life. No, your father, no, he did a hell of a job, him and your mother. You think about it, now y'all.
He
didn't have no doctor's degree.
No.
Well, that's what I'm trying to show you. It doesn't necessarily take all those degrees. Just to say you got all these degrees, it's an accomplishment that the man go by. But it's other accomplishments you do. He showed me a family with one or two kids in the family. Don't none of them finish college. Don't none of them go. Don't none of them even get a chance to go. And they parents be making good money. And you wonder what happened to them.
They gave him everything.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. What he gave y'all is worth $1 billion.
Oh, yeah.
That's how to make it in this world. What's going on?
Now, later understood that my parents were great parents. But again, was he a good big brother? Was he fun to be around? Was he?
Oh, yeah, I was. You didn't pay that no attention. when he did start getting on the field, all his friends used to come around, on the weekend. Had a couple of boys. I can't even think of their names. I can't think of none of their friends' names. Yeah, it was great to be around. Your father had a whole lot of knowledge, man. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He had wisdom. God gave him.
Yes.
That's what it was. A lot of people think, that's what I'm trying to get to tell you now. A lot of people think you got all these degrees that's supposed to. It means something and for your fellow man, they want to know, but what did you do with yours? You can have all the degrees in the world, but what did you do with them? See? What did you accomplish with all them degrees? You know what I'm saying to me?
Right. When
the only thing you accomplished, you got a piece of paper show that you did 4 years of this school and
right.
2 years of that school. But your life go, what did you accomplish? You can't never look down on a man and a woman that had 9 kids and raised all of them, kept all of you together. And nobody never got in no trouble. You never know nobody being locked up, police after nothing.
Right.
That's a hell of a thing to do, because in your neighborhood where you live at and your peers when you're in school, the other women they doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Because just like when I was in high school, we had guys around there, man, that were dressing good. The girls, all the girls were crazy about them and all this and that. And you look at them and, you feel, I need to feel kind of bad. And so how come, the girls weren't looking at me. But I wasn't able to dress like they were. And even if I was been able, that don't steal on me. I would have gotten them. But we think those things. But once I became a man, and I had to push women away from them.
Yeah. Now, this is when I found out, and I probably always knew it, but this is when I found out how much wisdom my father had.
Yeah.
At his at the lunch we had after his burial, I had three different people come to me and tell me that things that he told them, friends of mine or friends of my older siblings, what he told them that kept them out of trouble.
Right.
And it blew me away, because it was like, I always saw my friends with me and never thought about that they probably would run into my father without me and my father would say something. And they all, He pulled me aside one day and told me I better straighten up and stop messing around and get things together, or he was going to have it with them. And I was like, what?
Yep.
So he kind of not only watched out for his 9 kids, he also watched out for the neighborhood because...
Yeah, the neighborhood too. That's right. That's what I'm saying. He always carried himself in a high esteem, and the people looked up to him.
Yes.
He's right there with his family. He's taking care of his family.
Right.
That's what a man's supposed to do. Stay there and keep his family together. He could have, just like I said, when I asked me and my wife to adopt some of y'all, they had a fit. They said, no, keeping my family was going to stay together. That's what they did. I told you, time was hard. I had hard when I was growing up. I adopted Xavier, you know, but that that's nephew of my blood. We adopted him. My wife couldn't bear children, so that's how that happened. And even though we only had one child, he didn't get everything he wanted because I brought him up the same way I was brought up.
Right.
Because when he was in high school, he got him a part time job. He worked at McDonald's at the school he went to. If you had a good GPA. You know they let y'all out early in high school.
Yes.
And when I worked part time, the teachers have to recommend it. And I showed them what he do and gave him a little allowance. And I told him what he had to do with that allowance. He had 3 things to do with it. He had to buy the lunch out of it. He had to save part of it. And part of it he threw away. But
yeah.
Don't run in once you use it up. Don't run into me.
Right.
And that's what you do. Stick by your word. That's all you could. That's all you did. And show him then. So some of that rubbed off. Now you know what happened. So when he got grown, now he saved his money, and he saved it. And then he lived by the part of it. And then you have a little money because you get a time in life that you really. In my later years, man, my wife, we went a whole lot of places, man. I get on that highway and drive up and go here, go there. He had an opportunity to go to Canada, stay in Canada a couple of weeks, went down to Mexico 1 or 2 days, went to Hawaii, stayed over there 14 days, went on the Bahama cruise. We probably did some more stuff too until she got hurt and stopped. But, you just don't get out there because you got a little money, you just go crazy with it because you don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. Yesterday is forgotten, and tomorrow may never come. All you got is now, so you better take advantage of it. So I guess the only thing I'd say is no. You're probably good with me. He left a whole lot of training behind. That's when I was trying to think of some of his friends, and I helped them and raise their boys and girls.
Right.
Because I knew some of them, but now I know all of them real personal. The one, Damon.
Damon and Bun and Whip.
Esther. There was a guy named Esther he was friends with. And some guy, y'all, he was with, he was a cool teacher, was a basketball coach.
He's my godfather.
Yeah. So, no, man. you can't believe your father. Ain't no way in the world. No, sir. No, he ain't never turned his back on y'all.
No, never. He did not.
Nope, he's still right in there. What I say, he did what he's supposed to do. He didn't have to, because he walk away from a whole lot of things. People do it today. They walk away. But because he had no degrees hanging over his head and all that don't mean nothing. You know, that's something that's worth your while you're living. It may help you get a position, a job or something, but it's what's inside of you as a human being, as a man.
Right.
You have people that, what do they do? What do you do with the knowledge that you acquire in life? Wisdom, you don't acquire wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Knowledge comes from books.
Right.
People get to get that stuff confused, and that's where things go.
Now, I have another question for you. Second to the penultimate or second to last question. what personally, and also what do you think it did for this country, the election of President Obama?
Do what now?
What did it mean for you, if it meant anything, and what did you think it meant for this country?
It meant a whole lot to me, because it showed that a black man could be the president of this country. But it hurt me because the way the Republicans treated him, because they didn't give him a chance to none of his propositions that they would vote for. When them 15 Tea Party men, when they got in office, they told him, and just like McCullough did too, they're gonna do everything they could to make his administration be the worst president that the country ever had. But what it meant to me, it shows you that black men have just as much smart and wisdom as white men are. And what has been proven down throughout the ages, he becomes the president of this country. But they didn't treat him, give him the due respect like they give the white president, or his wife. But you can't take that away from him. That was a hell of an accomplishment the way he did it.
Right.
What he did.
They tried to erase those 8 years. You can't erase history.
No, they can't erase it, because the things that he did do, they don't even bring it up. They always talk about the health, Obama's health thing, but
right.
They don't talk about it. They don't talk about it. He saved the car deals, General Motors, and Chrysler, and then those banks. You had some of the biggest banks in this country. It was gone broke.
Yeah,
and I say, but you don't hear about that. And then when he left office, unemployment unemployment becoming nil. He had got it down the real low, but then when Trump come in, seemed like he unemployment what he done, but Obama got unemployment down below. I don't know what term to use, but he did a whole lot of things. He did things, man, everything that he done, Trump undone.
I think unemployment was low as 3%, and the country.
It'll come out more so when he died.
Oh yeah.
See, people don't. You don't really know about folks until after they die, and then they'll get the recognition that they should have got while they were living. That's why a lot of people say, "Give me my flowers." While I'm here on earth, don't wait till I die to give me my flowers. Give them to me now, so I can enjoy.
Economically, this country flourished for 8 years under him. I mean, there's no way of denying that. Absolutely.
No, but they won't talk about it.
Right.
But when he died, though, they will.
No, I thought there were times where when he was running and after he had been inaugurated for the first time, I was so afraid that something would happen to him. But, I could see the sense of pride that people had, and I even, to be honest with you, knew white people who thought it was a hell of an accomplishment to see a black man be president, and were proud of it. I think this country grew during that time.
Yeah, what it did was all white folks, man, not hateful, man.
No,
I've had several white friends that I was friends with, they're friends, but see this. Proud Boys and Ku Klux Klan and skinheads and Nazism and all those boys. That's something from carrying back from the Civil War thing. They said the South would rise again. They trying to take over this country again, and they know it, but they won't talk about it on the news maybe or anything. But I'm looking. I thought it was gonna be a Civil War when they went into the White House, but somebody's trying to. Those organizations now are still trying to push this country into a civil war. That's what you just pay attention to it.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to, but they ain't hit the right button yet. But they keep on doing what they're doing. They're gonna destroy the country from within. That's what's gonna happen.
Truer words have never been spoken. My last question: during this time of COVID, civil rights movement of this country took another step forward with the civil unrest, you know, the protesting and demonstrations and whatnot. About almost a year, you know, the death of George Floyd, what happened on my birthday, believe it or not. And then the protests and whatnot that came, and the conversations that were taking place. What were your thoughts and all that whole year?
Well, George Floyd, my thoughts have been not just that whole year, but the year and the year before that, the way it was killing us. You know, you turn your back and run away, and they shoot you in the back when nothing done about it, the way they did. The young man down there in Florida, that one white boy, the white boy, he wasn't no policeman, he was a vigilante, and he killed him.
Trayvon Martin.
And I always looked at it this way the country was. It's not the first time that they've done it like that. There was a young man in Texas that was two white boys on the road, and they saw him, and they stopped, picked him up, put him on the back of their pickup truck and drug him down the road and killed him just for the hell of it, and nothing done about it. But when they did Emmett Till, and then he came where your grandfather on your father's side, he had to come up here because he cut a white man, because a white man was back then, his farmer pair of brand new Spectator shoes.
Yeah.
It was red, and they was on the sidewalk, and back in those, in the South, those sidewalks weren't big enough where you could walk side by side. So if you had to step off in the streets to let a white person by, then you could get back the sidewalk, and Dad wouldn't do it. And so the guy's running, they asked, how come he didn't step, don't you know you're supposed to step aside when a white man coming through? So it's my dad told him, yeah, I know. He said, well, how come you didn't do it? He said, I didn't want to get my shoes myself because he's just bought a brand new Spectator. You know what Spectators are, don't you?
No, I don't.
You got the shoes, either black or white, either brown or white. They are a lot of people who play golf and who play those big-time gamblers at the racetrack. That was a real sharp shoe.
Oh, okay.
And once it was a year ago, it was really, really good-looking shoe. They're still selling right now, and it was a real good just a shoe. Well, anyway, he just bought him. He said he wasn't about to step. And so the white man hit him, so he cut him, and then he went home. He just married mama. So when he went home, he told him what happened. So they told him he better leave town.
Right.
They're gonna be looking for him that night. And no lie, so what he done, at that time, him and mom was married, so what he done, he hobo'd his way to St. Louis. And mom said, they said the Ku Klux Klan came out to the house. You know, in those small towns, they know him. You know, everybody knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked for him, and he was gone. So I born in St. Louis. So after he was there about 6 months, he got him a job, and he sat down and got mama. But they was married when he come up here. You know, because the next time he went back was in 1950, because that's pretty, when he bought him, he bought him that car. He bought him a car. And Purse was in service, yeah. And he went down the first time. He'd been back to his hometown since he left there. And I went with him out, so he wanted me to help him drive.
Right.
Then we didn't have no interstate then, at all highway. Was born here and all the rest of us. I imagine we might have been born down there in Jeremiah, Arkansas. But he was born in Bastrop, Louisiana, which is on the border of Louisiana, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Borders down there on the southern end of Arkansas. And his mother died 6 months after he was born, but his father died 6 months before he was born. And so his older sister, Aunt Gertrude, she raised him until he got 14 years old. That's when he left home. years old. So actually, there always been somebody that's been a lot of moving around because he's here.
So,
he told us about all that stuff.
Right.
I was the only one to remember most of it. But,
yeah, because we never heard any of it from, at least I didn't, from my dad. But the past year with the protests, and did that give you hope? Did it make you disillusioned? Make you sad? What was your...
Oh, yeah, you talking about the killing? The killing? Yeah, I was upset about, you know, killing, the way they killed a young man, but I was glad that they did the protests and stuff, you know, and they did it in a fair way. Yeah, and people start coming out. In fact, I was more so happy with this than when the civil thing started with cleaning them, because we really, well, they stuck together then too, but now it looks like they stick together more so because they weren't just the one city. It was all over the country where people was demonstrating, you know, and I was happy to hear that. And then I really got happy when they finally, was a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, they're going to charge that guy with murder. And it's a socialist too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's a big improvement from what white boys been doing. So look at all the boys, young men and women got killed before him. Like the one guy, I forgot what city he was in, when he was selling cigarettes outside the store in Portland, and they choked him to death.
That happened in New York City.
Yeah, New York City.
They have started jury selection up here for the George Floyd trial. So
yeah, Minnesota. Yeah, yeah. I really laid it about that. Shit, that damn doggone right. Yeah, now they doing something. Now something being done. Now I really want. I hope they get it. You know, I hope we don't walk away with no 4 or 5 years.
Well, here's the thing that happened. He was going to plead guilty, and the head of the Justice Department under Trump wouldn't take the plea because he thought there was going to be more rioting because it was only going to be a third-degree murder, but still, it would have been a conviction, you know, and they thought it wouldn't be protests and riot, well, actual more riots because they accepted a lesser plea. Or right now, he'd be in jail right now.
In jail right now? What do you mean? They said when Trump was in office, he said...
They would not...
I never heard that he was going to plead guilty.
Yeah, and I knew something was up because the day that he was going to plead guilty, they had set a press conference local time at 1 o'clock, and it got pushed to 2 o'clock, and then 3 o'clock.
The day?
No, this was months ago. This was like probably a month or so after he got arrested.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they had set the press conference, and the time kept changing. And we were all, I was at work, and me and some coworkers were like, why is the press conference time keep changing? And I finally said, there was probably a plea agreement, and somebody didn't accept it, and it came out. A month and a half ago, that's exactly what happened. Bill Barr, the Chief Justice under Trump, would not take the plea.
It had been a race riot. He pleaded guilty. He got out with a...
Well, it had been third-degree federal murder or something like that.
Right.
And they thought that people would have looked at it as not a good enough plea. And it's like... Well, you know, at that point, I think to have a police officer plead guilty to murder at any charge would have been a big step. That's why we're in where we're at now with the trial about to start. But it was just, I just kind of knew in the pit of my stomach, that's, you know, because I had worked at the U.S. Attorney's Office in St. Louis a couple of summers. And so I just kind of had a feeling that's what was taking place, that he was about to plea. And it was rejected. And it was like, oh. But yeah.
No, I never heard of that, no.
Yeah.
Well, it was kept quiet, didn't it?
Well, they kept it quiet because they finally had the press conference, and all they did was pat each other on the back for nothing. And it was just the oddest press conference you ever heard in your life. And even the commentators post the because it was a local press conference. Even the commentators in the local radio even said, this doesn't make sense. Why? Because they basically, everybody was like, why even have a press conference? Because you didn't say anything. You know, and they couldn't come out and say, we had a plea agreement, but it was rejected by so-and-so.
So-and-so.
Yeah, so they...
Well, I see where they got that. They had that third degree back on to them this time.
Yes. Well, there's...
I can understand. What's the know-how on that? How come they want that third degree murder charge back?
Well, the state Supreme Court said that it was legal to charge him with that. Minnesota is the only state in the country that has a third degree murder charge, and so people struggle with the actual terms and meanings of it because we're the only one. Because if he's found guilty of third degree or second degree, the time in jail is the actual same.
So the what?
The time in jail is the same for third or second degree murder. The time in
second the third or the second.
Yeah. The time that he would spend in jail is the same. So people are like, so why do you even have third degree murder? And Minnesota, is, like I said, is the only state in the union that has a third degree murder charge. There's a little technicality that I can't get my finger on. That's the difference between third and second. There's a legal technicality.
Well, yeah, let's see. You might end up going parole with the third degree shit.
No, he would spend time in jail.
And it wouldn't be that much over there.
It would be the max. I think is 15.
What's the minimum?
I don't know what the minimum, but the max is 15 years.
Oh, shit. No, he killed that man. That first degree murder, what he done.
Yeah, I think it's, the charges on him are third degree murder, second degree murder, and people think it's easier to prove third degree than second degree. Manslaughter.
They don't have a first degree murder charge on him?
No, and that's very hard to prove on a police officer, I guess, anywhere. So.
No, because they make it that way. But right. Anybody can see he killed that man in Texas. Well, just like the nut they got now that killed those eight people down there in Georgia.
Right.
Now he's trying to talk about he was all upset because they brought the... COVID-19, that's a damn lie. You don't get no easy write off. What makes you that upset going around killing eight people?
Right.
You know, and I see they come up with all these crazy answers now because they don't want to say the white boys, they want to say that they're mental. They ain't mental. They know what they were doing. It's a racial thing.
Yes.
They don't want to charge them with that rich kill, but I think they went on. They say they're going to throw that out. They they're going to be racial.
Yeah. Well, the sheriff who said he was having a bad day is no longer on the case and no longer allowed to speak about the case. So, yeah, for him to say that guy was upset and having a bad day was not it was not the thing to say in these days and times.
Well, I guess that must have been one of Trump's judges. He was, you know, he appointed. How many he appointed? About 2 or 3?
Yeah, this was a sheriff, though. It wasn't a judge.
Sheriff said that.
Yeah.
He told me he was having a bad day.
He was having a bad day. I guess so. I guess his day wasn't I guess his day wasn't as bad as the eight people he killed.
That's what I'm saying. What happened to the sheriff?
He still has his job for now, but he is not allowed to beyond the case nor speak about it anymore. So,
well, they ought to get rid of them.
Yeah, I think that's where things are headed. Well, I have taken up 2 hours of your time, sir, and I appreciate it.
There's... All right, well, I hope I can have some questions. Maybe I wasn't.
No, you did. You did a great job answering questions. You've departed not only great family history, but great American history. You know, when you live in this country, you are part of American history. And,
Well, anyway, it's a lot more stuff you can't see. You know, people don't want to see all of it, but I always tell them, I'd be around for the young people, they ask me about this country. I tell them about it. Yeah, if you go on the outside country and look back into the United States, yeah, it's a good country to live in. It's too much white supremacists, man. It's like I said, when you show me, my people, we always digging in our nose and our behind scratching our ears. You show the white boy, he always riding the big white horse. White with the white hat, living a good life. But black people, we got a whole lot of black people that live a good life. And think about this, the only thing it is, they don't have the complete freedom. And just like what happened, Colin Kaepernick, when he made a statement about kneeling. He lost his job. Yeah, still these people went up there and tore the White House up, and they claimed they locked up 300 folks, but ain't no way in the world all them people should have walked away from the White House, and then they grab somebody and those busloads that brought them there, they didn't do nothing to them until a day or two later.
Right.
You know, that don't make sense.
Yeah.
A lot of this ride by when they was killing, when accused us of in Chicago and St. Louis, those are white men doing that shit. Excuse me, my language. What they doing, you know, you can buy masks and things now, look like your skin, and they can put that stuff on, and you think they're black ought to be, you know, that's the kind of masks they got. Then you never hear of attention in those ride back shootings, and they killing kids. And everything else, and then those rallies, those were the white supremacists in there, the one with burning cars up and tearing out windows and going on.
Yeah,
that's what it was, but they put it on us because we had the rallies.
Well, so, and actually here, several of those neo-Nazi white supremacists have been arrested and have been charged for starting the fires and whatnot. Yeah, they saw. They saw through that crap. And
but they don't publicize on the news media where everybody know about it. See, that's what I'm saying. They see how they bury this stuff.
Right.
And they keep it hidden. And you don't think they do anything wrong.
Well, it made the local news every time one of them was arrested. It just didn't make the national news, but it's clearly it happened. At least 8 have been charged with inciting riots and burning down, because they did it on purpose to burn, because that neighborhood was lower class and lower middle class blacks and Latinos and Asians, and they assassinated a neighborhood. They maybe didn't kill anybody, but they cut them off. They cut them off from having services, having food, and whatnot. And they tried to kill a neighborhood. Now, companies like Target rebuilt instantly a temporary store, and now their permanent store is back up and running. And other companies like that have come back and rebuild quickly, because they knew that if they didn't, that neighborhood would just die off completely. So it's a good thing to see. You know, again, has the national news jumped on that? No, but the local news reports on it constantly. So it's taking place.
Well, Well, that's what upsets me. Is to know how can they make it that national news? That's what I look at, you know. But by me, that don't make it so.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They had. Now, if there had been some black people locally, it'd have been national. It'd put it out nationally, though. It would have went national. They print what they want. It's just like now on television. When they be talking about some of those statements that some of those people make, television has been cutting part of it out. That's the part they don't want you to hear. They sure do. And because when it first started, I thought something was wrong with, you know, the communication. But now they're doing it intentionally. When they be reporting stuff, the part they don't want you, the public, to hear about it, you know, they'll cut that out, and people still be talking. You hear their lips, but you can't hear nothing, then they'll come back in. Okay, then.
All right. Well, again, I want to thank you for your time, Uncle X.
All right.
This has been educational for me, so I know it's going to be educational to people who will listen after I publish this.
All right. You're on a podcast.
Yeah. So, you know,
What's the difference between the podcast and radio?
Radio is over, you know, the airwaves and whatnot. Podcasts are normally recorded. Some are live, but most of them are, and they're recorded over the internet and then recorded to be played back by people anytime they want listen to it. You know, I get comments from people.
Hey, whoa, now, wait a minute. The podcast is over the internet.
Yes.
And then it's being recorded.
It's being recorded.
Once you record, you can play it back.
Right.
Play it back.
And play.
You have to pay for that?
I pay a publishing fee. Once a year publishing fee to the company that's the publishing site. The recording site is free.
The recording site is free.
Yep.
But to have it published, you have to pay.
Yes, I just pay it once.
Yeah, that's a white man system.
I pay a once a year fee to a publishing company, but then I can publish.
Well, what benefit can you derive out of it, if any?
I can publish as many shows as I want, and I can have advertisement on my podcast. And that money comes directly to me. So
Like radio, they advertise on the radio. That's how they make their money. That's how television make their money, advertise.
Right.
But they don't make sense. We pay all that money to have TV. Then they inundate us with all their doggone commercials.
Yep.
They're making money from us and the commercials.
Right.
Oh boy.
So I have a couple of advertisers, so I make a little money, and the benefit for me is it's my show. I get to have on whoever I want to have on, and talk about whatever I want to have. Whatever I want to discuss.
Talk about whatever you want.
Right.
But you're on the internet, though.
No, but nobody, they won't block my show or anything. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So don't worry about me. I'm good.
If you get enough advertising, you make a good living out of it.
Yes, you can. And I was part of a national one, and because of the job changes I had, I couldn't do it anymore. So the guy I was doing it with and some others kept pressuring me to do my own, and I just finally just said, okay, what's the stuff I need and the equipment I needed, and that was less than $200.
So how long you been doing it now?
Since late last year. I think I started in November of last year.
So you haven't been a year yet.
No. But the only person who can take me off air basically is me.
I see it now.
So.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks again.
All right.
I love you. I appreciate you. And you take care of yourself.
J.
B.
is my name, and f***ing up motherfuckers is my game.
I am Negro, Black, African American, Black.
Django.
J.
B.
Damn. Dolomite.
Great God in heaven, you know I.
J.
B.
Our great Negro sex machine.